The reading is taken from Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 to 32. And it's entitled, Jesus Walks on the Water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Thanks be to God.
So it's evening, and you and your mates have set out on a boat to cross the lake to get to the other side. So you push the boat off the shore, and away you go. Putting up the sails, you realise that the wind is very much against you, so you start tacking the boat into the wind. The wind gets stronger and stronger, and as it does, it becomes harder to control the boat. And the wind has now started to whip up the waves. So the waves get bigger, and the wind gets stronger. And the little fishing boat that you're in starts getting battered by the wind and the waves. As the boat is getting so hard to control, you all decide it's a good idea to grab an oar and try and row instead. But you keep fighting against the waves, and you're trying to take control of this boat, which seems to be losing direction. The waves are now crashing over the side of the boat, and you're soaked, and every time the wind blows, it's icy cold. Now you're wet from the crashing waves just riding over the boat. And with every stroke of the oars, your clothes start chafing against you as you battle against the water. You take a short break from rowing because you realise that the water level in the boat is starting to get quite high. So you start bailing out the water. You start bailing and bailing and bailing. You start feeling sick because the motion of the boat is going up and down, side to side. You keep taking it in turns with you and your friends to bail and then to row. To keep bailing and to row. And the wind keeps getting stronger and stronger, and the waves keep getting higher and higher. As each hour of this tempest ensues, the feeling in the boat becomes more and more grave. And although no one will say it out loud, it's clear that everyone is thinking the worst. And after probably about 9 or so hours, there's terror in the boat, as everyone starts to realise that their own mortality might be looming. And then someone shouts, "What's that?" In the distance, getting closer and closer, is a figure that looks like it's moving over the water. Pandemonium breaks out on the boat as the myths that you have all heard rush through your mind, that when death is upon people, people say that ghosts and apparitions will appear and trick you to your death. With this still running through your mind, you see that this figure is actually walking on the waves, in spite of the storm. It must be a ghost, you think, as someone shouts those very words, but with terror in their voice. And then the figure calls out, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." This figure is claiming to be Jesus. And not only claiming to be Jesus, but by saying, "It is I," it's another way of saying, "I am," the very name that God gives himself when he speaks to Moses at the burning bush. It can't be him. Can it? He seems to be offering to help, But maybe it's just a trick. Your mate Peter shouts, "If it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." You think, that'll get this ghost. But then the figure standing on the water, claiming to be Jesus and also God, replies, "Come." You look at Peter with shock, wondering what's going to happen next. The only way to know if the claims of this figure are true or not is to get out of the boat. And that's exactly what Peter does. Right in front of you, he throws his legs over the side of the boat and starts stepping step by step on the water, on top of the waves, towards whom he now realizes must be Jesus. As a big wave swells, you see Peter taking his eyes off Jesus. And look at this big wave, which seems like it's going to hit him. And as he does, he starts sinking, crying out, "Lord, save me." As he says these words, Jesus reaches down and catches him. Jesus says to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" Then Jesus and Peter get into the boat, and yours and everyone else's jaws drop. As soon as they get on board the boat, the storm just stops. And you shout out, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So what on earth possessed Peter to get out of the boat? In the middle of a storm, why on earth did he take such a big risk? I think it's because he dared believe that it was Jesus. And it was Jesus, and Peter knew that if it was Jesus on the waves, that's where he wanted to be. Why? Because they were in a storm and they were terrified that they were going to die. And if you go a few chapters earlier on in Matthew's Gospel, which we read from tonight, there's another story. And the disciples are in a boat and they're with Jesus. And there's a storm and they're all terrified they're going to die. Seem familiar? There's a parallel story here. In that account, Jesus is in the boat with them. And this storm whips up and the disciples are terrified. They wake Jesus up saying, because he's asleep in the bow of the boat, and they say, "We're going to die, we're going to die, help us, save us." And Jesus stands up and he says, "Peace, be still." And the storm just stops. Maybe Peter is remembering this as he sees this figure on the waves. He's realizing that being in a storm without Jesus in the boat with you is probably not a good thing to, not a good situation to be in. But he sees this figure who might be Jesus, who might be that very one who last time saved them in the middle of this storm. They're in a storm, they're on their own, they're fighting the waves. And he sees this glimmer of hope. Everyone's downcast, they think they're going to die. And yet Peter sees this glimmer of hope. Now, it could either be nothing, it could be a ghost, it could be a trick of the mind, but it might be Jesus. And if it's Jesus, then there might be hope in this dire circumstance. If this is the Jesus, the same man who calmed the storm a few chapters earlier, then trying to get to be where Jesus is, surely that's the best place to be. Because it means he'll live and survive and the storm won't consume him. And he'll be with the God who cares about him and the one who made the entire universe and has control over the storm. And it's this hope that Peter clings to. This hope of life and in the power of Jesus that inspires this risk of faith. Only by stepping out of the boat would he be able to know if it was Jesus. As his feet hit the water, they don't sink. And he knows that this is Jesus. And this increases his faith to take another step and another step as he follows Jesus, staying focused on him and the hope of life that he gives Peter. You see, Peter realizes that if that is Jesus, then there's life over there. He's in this boat, buffeted by the waves, buffeted by this storm, and he sees that if that is Jesus, if that is true, if who this person is true, then that will bring me life in the middle of this storm, because otherwise I'm going to die. But when Peter gets out of the boat, his situation doesn't really improve immediately. Because before he's in a boat, and he's being buffeted by the waves, but he's a fisherman. He spent his whole life in boats. He spent his whole life on the water. He's a dab hand at the sailing. He's probably been through many storms before. But this one seems bigger and worse than it's ever been. And he's terrified. And yet he sees Jesus, and he thinks, I can't do this on my own, but if that's Jesus, then he has power over this. And I can be there. I can be safe with him. So his situation doesn't improve. He's got out of the boat. And suddenly he's walking along the waves, taking step by step, going, that's Jesus. Imagine that. You're walking top of the water. You know, maybe Steph and Gareth, you want to try it tonight as we come to the baptistry. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. But he's still being, the waves are still there. The situation hasn't changed. Hasn't really improved that much, other than the fact that he's got some hope. You see, he took this step of faith. Say, I believe that that might be Jesus. That might be true. And he takes his step out of the boat, and suddenly, his situation hasn't improved, but he's doing extraordinary things with Jesus. When he's focused on Jesus, he's doing absolutely extraordinary things. Because faith in Jesus leads us to do extraordinary things, because when we have faith in Jesus and follow him, it allows us to share in his divine power. When we have our faith in Jesus, we can become like him. The cross and the resurrection of Jesus, what we've come to celebrate today on Easter Day, is that Jesus has risen from the grave, that he died and he's risen. He has demonstrated power over death itself. The one thing that we can be certain of is the fact that we're all going to die. But Jesus, he died, and he came back to life again. And he now lives for eternity. And he says, what Easter is about is saying, that is for everyone. We can all live for eternity with God. That's God's heart. God has made every single one of you. Every single one of you. And he wants to spend eternity with you. He doesn't want you to die. He wants to live with you for eternity because he loves you, because he made you. And because Christ has risen, we can do that. Because Christ has demonstrated power over the grave. And it means that when we have faith in him and say, that is Jesus, that is the man who was raised from the dead, because he is the power of God. When we have faith in him, we can share in his divine power. Peter, when he got out of the boat, he wasn't walking on the waves by his own ability. He was walking on the waves because Jesus had called him to come. It was Jesus' power that allowed him to walk on the waves. But Jesus, because he cares about Peter, because he loves Peter, he wants to share that power with him. He wants to share that experience with him. You know, Peter being in the boat in this storm, I said already, he knew boats. He's grown up on boats. He lives and breathes boats. He's a fisherman. And yet his skill, his boat, the friends around him, no matter how good he thinks he is, sadly, it's not going to get him out of this storm. But he sees someone on the waves who can overcome the storm. And being where Jesus is the best place to be. When you take that step of faith and say, I dare to believe that that is Jesus. I dare to believe that what he did, what people talk about, the fact that he died and he was raised from the dead for you, if you dare to believe that and take a step of faith out of your comfort zone, out of where you feel comfortable, and step out onto the waves, you will do extraordinary things with Jesus. Your life will not get instantly better, but it will be incredible. It won't solve all your problems, but you'll be with Jesus, who says that he cares for you and has power over all of creation. We can share in the divine power of God if we just choose to have faith in him. It says in the Bible that we will do everything that Jesus did as Christians and greater things. If we have faith in Jesus. Now, Jesus raised people from the dead. He healed sick people. He broke 5 loaves and some fish and fed a multitude. He did incredible things. And Jesus says, that's what you can do if you have faith in me. We can share in the same divine power. And we as Christians believe that there's the Holy Spirit, which is the power of God, and it can live within you. And it can be part of you. And that can allow you to do these amazing things. There's a whole book in the Bible called Acts, which is about people who believed in what Jesus stood for. They believed that Jesus died for them and was raised again, and that they could do incredible things. And the book of Acts in the Bible is full of incredible miracles. People doing amazing things, sharing in the divine power of Jesus because they have faith in him. And we, when Steph and Gareth come to get baptized, when they come up out of the water, we'll probably pray with them to be filled again with the Holy Spirit, to keep them focused on Jesus, to allow them to do incredible things, to do extraordinary things with God. So Peter's on the waves, and he's walking along, loving the fact that Jesus is in front of him, loving the fact he's walking on the waves, and then suddenly he just goes, there's a big wave coming. I don't know if you've ever been surfing, and you go, I'll catch this wave, and then suddenly you go, actually, that wave's a bit too big, and it just goes, poof, consumes you. Peter's going, ooh, okay, that's a bit big, and he takes his eyes off of Jesus, and he turns around, and he's focusing on the storm, the very thing that he was trying to escape from, the very thing that he was trying to have faith over. And suddenly, he starts sinking, and he cries out, Lord, save me! And Jesus reaches down and grabs him, because Jesus cares about Peter. And in the Greek, the word to save me and the word to heal me are the same word. And it's like Jesus saying, I care about you. Ask me for anything. I want to be there for you. Peter said, I believe that's Jesus. But he took his eyes off Jesus and he sank. But Jesus didn't go, chance over. He said, no, try again. I love you. And you might think that you've done the worst things in the world. And there's no way ever that this thing about God, this thing about Jesus can be for you, because you've done the worst things ever. But Jesus doesn't care. He says there's nothing that you can do which will stop me from loving you, stop me from caring about you. And Peter knew this. Because Peter writes a book in the Bible, and he writes this, he says, cast all your anxieties onto Jesus because he cares for you. The very fact that Jesus was on the waves in the first place was because it tells us in Luke's Gospel the fact that Jesus saw they were struggling in the boat and that he was worried about them, and he went to go and save them. Jesus cares about you. And Peter chose to take all his anxiety, all the things that were worrying him, the big storm around him, seems to put his focus on Jesus. Suddenly, he was able to do extraordinary things. He was able to have power over the storm, the very thing that he was terrified of. So maybe there's a step of faith that needs to be taken. Maybe you need to realize that actually, if you're focusing on Jesus, you can do extraordinary things. But maybe you've never known who this God is. I'll tell you a little story. About a little boy, and he makes a boat. He gets a bit of wood one summer, and he uses a pen like, and he whistles a boat out of it. It's a little sailing boat with a little sail, keeping in line with our theme. And he whistles this little boat, and he spends the whole summer playing with this boat on this lake. He plays with it all summer long, and he loves it, and it's the best toy he's got. All the other toys are rubbish compared to this toy. He loves it. And he plays with it day after day after day after day. And then one day, he loses it. And it's lost. And he's devastated. A few weeks later, he's walking along, and he sees a second-hand shop. And he's walking along the second-hand shop. He goes, "That's my boat." So he dashes into the shop, and he says to the shopkeeper, "That's my boat. Can I have it back, please?" And the shopkeeper goes, no, this is my boat. He goes, no, I made it. Look, you can see where I've carved it. You can see where I put my initials on it. He says, no, this is my boat. If you want it, you have to pay for it. So the little boy goes, "Oh, no. How much is it?" And the shopkeeper says, "It's £2. The little boy goes, "Oh, I've got £2. And he dashes back and he opens up his piggy bank and he smashes it and looks inside. And he has exactly £2. And he goes back to the shopkeeper and says, "Here, this is everything that I have." And the shopkeeper goes, "There's your boat." And as the boy walks out of the shop, he says, "Little boat, you are twice mine. Once because I made you, I loved you. And twice because I bought you and I paid for you." And that's the gospel story. There's two big themes in the Bible. Creation and redemption. God has made every single one of you, whether you know it or not. God has made you. But we've become lost to him. We choose to go our own way. The little boat got lost. We go our own way. And because of that, it puts a price on us. And God comes to us because he loves us so much and he goes, "Oh, I want you back. You're mine. I've made you. I love you. I want to be with you forever." But there's a price to be paid. And just like the little boy, he went, I've given the shopkeeper everything that I have. God sent Jesus, who was his son, to die on a cross, which is everything that he had, to pay for you, to buy you. Because sin puts a price on us. It separates us from God. And God doesn't like that. So when we die, it separates us from God. But I said, Jesus and God want us to live forever with him. He thinks you're awesome. He's made you. All the little quirks that you have, he loves it. The things that people find annoying, he loves those things. They're you. He loves that about every single one of you. But because we choose to go our own way, we choose to be selfish at times, and we choose ourselves over other people, and we choose ourselves over God, it means that we're separated from him somewhat. So we're going, no. And it's like we're on the other side of the pane of glass in the shop, and God stood outside going, "You're mine! You're mine!" And so he goes, "I need to buy you back." So he sends Jesus to die on a cross. He dies the death that you should die. And he raises again. And because he has got power over the grave, it means if we have faith in Jesus, we can live with God forever. Jesus paid the price for you so that God could say, "You are twice mine. Once, because I made you." And he knows everything about you. The Bible says he knows the number of the hairs on your head. He made you. And you're twice his because he's paid a price for you. The question is, are you going to acknowledge that gift? It's there for everyone. The only thing that you have to do is have faith in Jesus and say, "I believe that, yeah, he died and that's paid a price for me because I've done bad things, I've gone my own way." But if you choose to have faith in him, it's like saying, "God, thank you for this gift. I want to be with you. I want to live my life with you." And when you live your life with God, you will do extraordinary things. It might not be magically wonderful, but you will do amazing things because you'll be with Jesus. You'll share in the power of Jesus. And that's what God's heart is for you. It's to live life out in His power. Not being worried about the things of this world. Not being anxious. Not having anxieties. He said, cast on to Jesus because He cares for you. Jesus died because He cares for you. God loves you so much. Which is why He made you in the first place. And Gareth and Steph are coming tonight to say that they've received that gift. They've accepted that gift. The fact that they were once gods because He made them. But He was twice gods. That they're twice gods because He's paid the price. And they've said, I want to have faith in that. I choose to believe that that is the truth. They dared to take that step out of the boat and say, if this is Jesus, if this is true, then this is going to be the most awesome thing ever. And that's what they've said. That they've seen something, they stepped out of this boat, and it's going to be awesome. And Gareth and Steph, you're going to live awesome lives. If you keep focused on Jesus, and even when you don't, God will still reach out a hand and say, I love you. Let's try it again. And they're going to come, they're going to show their demonstration of faith tonight. Just like Peter getting out of the boat was a demonstration of faith. Saying, I dare to believe that that is Jesus. They come and say, I've made that step, and I want to show everyone here that God loves me, and that I want to walk with Him, and I want to do extraordinary things with Him. And that's what they're coming to do tonight. They're coming to say, I recognise that God loves me. Let's pray. Father God, thank You that You love us. Father, thank You that You have made each and every one of us. Father, thank You that You sent Jesus to die on a cross, Lord. The ultimate cost, costing You absolutely everything. You died on a cross for all the things that we've done wrong, all the times we've turned away from You. And Lord, You rose again, which is what we celebrate today. And because of that, when we have faith in You, we too can be raised from the dead. And we too can live with You for eternity, the way You want it to be. And Lord, my prayer tonight is that there's people here who have not accepted that gift, that free gift of knowing You, of doing extraordinary things with You. That Lord, You would just be with them now. Amen.
A year and a half ago, I met the youth of the church. I began to help out at Beyond Extreme and was surrounded by young people who share the same views. I felt I belonged and had been given an opportunity to make a difference, no matter how small. Last March, I was given the chance to go to Hebron Hall for a weekend and heard Reggie Dads, the evangelist at Howell School, who made an impression on me. These were important times in my life and brought me closer to Christ. Before the youth club, I struggled to find my place. I was bullied quite a lot when I was younger, and it left me feeling vulnerable. My parents split up when I was 8, and although it doesn't bother me now, it was a change that I had no voice in at the time. But in all of these situations, all you can do is hope that things will get better, not worse. 2 years ago, I was troubled by problems at school. People I always thought as friends betrayed my trust, which made me think twice about confiding in friends. At about this time, a good friend introduced me to Beyond Extreme, where I met new friends who restored my faith. Things at school gradually got better as I moved into year 10. I took a part in Young Enterprise, where I got to know a new circle of friends who treated me with the sort of respect I never thought I'd regain. They have stuck by me through everything, and I cannot thank them enough. As I begin my journey, I have hope for the future. And as we carry on with BX, the Tent Mission, and Soul Survivor, I pray we will be blessed and be able to help other people find a place just like I did. I picked a passage out of the Bible, which means a lot to me and was poignant in my journey. It's John 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. I know this is what I want to do, and I will never be alone again. Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I will trust in You. In God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me?
Steph. Do you acknowledge that Christ is Lord?
I do.
Do you repent of your sins and turn from evil?
I do.
And do you choose to follow Jesus for the rest of your life?
I do.
Steph, in which case, in profession of your faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Gareth, come and share with us.
I thought when I arrived here tonight there was going to be a crane across here or something ready to lift me out, but unfortunately they brought the muscle man in instead. To answer the question that has been asked by many of you, yes, I've been baptised. However, this was done when I was weighed in pounds and not in stones, and inches and not in feet. I was baptised in St Mary's Church of England, Twickenham. After that, I attended Sunday schools, sang in church choirs, you may believe. Lorna? And also attended Church of England schools. There was a brief period that I cannot remember going to church, and that was when I lived in Newport. However, it was at this time that I was confirmed at the age of 17. By the time I was 25, I was married with two children and working hard, enjoying life, and taking both of the children to the church. Gemma came along then, and as a whole family, we were regularly attending church. For me, however, that is all I did was attend, with no ambition to use any gifts that I may have or even to know about the Holy Spirit and how He works in our lives. My spiritual life changed at New Wine in 1999. I was talking for about 2 to 3 hours with a vicar called Bob Yule, who convinced me that if I opened my heart wholly to the Holy Spirit and professed my faith, then I would see God working in me. I went to the front of the auditorium and was prayed for with Bob. I felt a glow in my whole body, but my legs and feet were like lead weights and I was unable to move until God had done His will. I have spent the last 10 or so years doing what God has asked me to do. I believe that my infant baptism was still good and proper, but this baptism lets me move any sins that may have occurred between now and then. I am very much moved by what our youth and children have shown me in their Christian lives. And it was when Sarah Bailey was giving her testimony saying, "How can I go out as a disciple of Jesus unless I have gone through the waters of baptism?" It is with this in mind that I may become a more serving disciple, one who will get down and dirty to accomplish what God has in mind for us to do. Jesus, as we read in the Gospels, that He needed to be baptized as an obedient service to His Father. So if Jesus needs to do it, so do I. I hope that with the power of the Holy Spirit, after my baptism, that I am able to go out and fulfill what God has put me in place for me. I think this has been endorsed over the Easter period by J.A. on Thursday, who said, "We are disciples of God and we should go out." Roger again this morning saying that we have powers and God has got a vision for us, so we should use that vision. And then Peter tonight, we spoke about faith, and I've got to have faith in these two tonight as I come out the other end.
Gareth, I've known you now for many years, and I know your faith in Christ, but so that we're all clear, I'm going to ask you those baptismal questions. Let's just take a step a little bit forward again. Just a step forward. There we go. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord?
I do.
And have you turned from your sin and accepted Him as Lord and Saviour?
I have.
And with God's help, is it your intention to follow Him for the rest of the days of your life?
I will.
Then, on profession of faith, Gareth Humphreys, I baptise you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
May now the peace of the risen Christ be with you this night and with those you love. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you this night and always. Amen. Let's share together in the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.